Good morning. Thanks for tuning in to the Beth Wee Radio Hour, an hour dedicated to helping you find connection so you can live your best life.
Good morning, everybody. I'm Beth Walsh Erickson in the studio with my partner in crime, Lee Kimble. How are you doing today, Lee?
I am well, Beth. I am well, and thank you for asking.
Yes, we've had some colds going around in our little area, and I succumbed to that this last week. Does my voice sound okay?
Well, and it is cold outside as well.
It is freezing out. Well, not freezing. I'm sorry to any of you listening from up north, but I'll tell you what, we're not used to it down here in Florida. When they say it's 39 degrees in Vero Beach, Florida, in the early morning, like 5 a.m. or something.
It's chilly, Willy.
We're not built for that anymore.
And you made me think of our friend Billy Crystal, who, when he said, you know, it's more important to look good than to feel good. And darling, you look marvelous.
Absolutely marvelous. Well, you know, I thought, you know, we had a workshop over the weekend on the greatest love of all. We're talking to you right now in February in 2016. And this is the big weekend of Valentine's Day, President's Day. It's a big holiday weekend. I thought we'd talk about the greatest love of all today.
Absolutely.
The workshop went well. It was an interesting workshop. It was all women. I don't know if this is a women's subject or if it just happened to be circumstance that all of the participants were women this time.
And jeepers, that makes me sorry I wasn't able to attend.
I bet it is. I bet it does make you think that way, Lee. Yeah, well, you know, many people, when I said the topic was going to be the greatest love of all, many people asked me what the subject matter would be. And I was really slow to answer because I wanted to kind of shake them up a little bit when they got there. Some of them were too young to remember Whitney Houston singing the song, The Greatest Love of All.
It's in my head.
Yeah, and it's been in my head, and I've been singing it all week long since I was working on the workshop and having the workshop and after the workshop.
And Whitney being such a tragic loss from what we speak about, the disconnection and, you know,
the
struggle and the addiction.
Yeah, and the people that loved her, the people that went through the addiction with her that weren't addicted, but just loved her and couldn't help her get over it.
We were speaking of her this past weekend being Super Bowl weekend, and, you know, her rendition of the national anthem when she had done it was...
It was beautiful.
Yeah.
Lady Gaga did an awesome job.
Amazing.
Oh, my goodness.
My, has she matured.
Yeah.
But in the words of that great orator, Forrest Gump, that's not what we came to talk about.
No, that's right. But, you know, since we're talking about Whitney Houston and the song, would you mind reading the lyrics to the song? I have them with me.
I absolutely wouldn't.
Thank you.
Let me see. Greatest love of all. I believe the children are our future. Teach them well and let them lead the way. Show them all the beauty they possess inside. Give them a sense of pride to make it easier. Let the children's laughter remind us how we used to be. Everybody's searching for a hero. People need someone to look up to. I never found anyone who fulfilled my needs. A lonely place to be. And so I learned to depend on me. I decided long ago never to walk in anyone's shadow. If I fail, if I succeed, at least I'll live as I believe. No matter what they take from me, they can't take away my dignity. Because the greatest love of all is happening to me. I found the greatest love of all inside of me. The greatest love of all is easy to achieve. Learning to love yourself is the greatest love of all.
It's heavy, isn't it?
Don't put the tear in my eye.
I know. It is. It's heavy. You know, one of the most difficult struggles most of us will ever have is the struggle to love ourselves. Some of the people listening that listen regularly to our show are recovering from addiction issues. Others have people in their life that have addiction issues. Others just have dysfunction. You know, we talk about dysfunction in the families. Whoa, the little bird thing. We talk about dysfunction in the families. 90 to 95% of us have those. All of us have a history of failures and mistakes just because we're all wearing skin suits. We're all human beings. We're going to make mistakes. We're going to mess up in our relationships. We're going to mess up in our decision making. So we're human. And that's an important thing to know about yourself.
Which is a gift as well.
Yeah. But, you know, I always talk about it. And in the workshop, I talked about it. We're created in the image of the source. And I did this once before in another workshop, and I did it in this workshop. And I'm just going to flip through it pretty quick because I know that some of you might have heard me speak about it before. So don't turn off the radio. Just hang with me a little bit. This comes from the Torah or from the Old Testament. And yeah, so it's like reading from religious stuff. But it's just to read. Just hang with me a minute. Here's the words. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Now, if I was created in the image of God, I'm a creator.
Well, yeah, because that's what it's speaking of, creation.
Yeah, I'm a creator. And, you know, look at humans versus animals. Like a bald eagle in South Florida will create a nest. And the nest will be kind of the same shape and the same kind of layout as a nest created by a bald eagle in Colorado. The difference is where the nest is and what it's made of.
Materials available.
Yeah. But the animal only knows one way to make the nest. Human beings, when we make our nest, whether it's just redecorating our house or having an architect plan a house, you know, or all the different layouts or the different, you know, where your yard sits or how you do your garden or all those different things, you know, it's not instinct. This is creative ability.
I'm disappointed because in the past when you've used the eagle analogy, mm-hmm. you've referenced, you know, it's not like the eagle in Florida is getting a call from the eagle in Colorado saying, no, use the big stick.
That's right. So that's the first line. The second line in these books, you know, the Torah and the Old Testament, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. Okay, so trait two is that we have a vital spirit within that's able to move. That's a big deal because we were created in the image of this source. And that's one of the things that this source gave us, was the spirit within that's able to move. Now, many of you listening have had your spirit move. You know what it feels like. When your spirit moves you, just like you were reading the words to that song and you said, it brings a tear to my eye. That's your spirit moved you. You identified with that person. You felt compassion and love for the words that were being said. You knew they had been sung by a woman who lost her fight against addiction and had like great talent. She didn't have any troubles with money or the things that you think that people struggle with all the time. Her struggles were much deeper. She didn't love herself.
And such a contradiction to the beautiful song.
Yeah. You know, to live in ego rather than to live in true love, you know, it's a sad place to be. It's a sad place to be because ego isn't true.
Well, ego, as we've said before, there basically it comes down to two different points, either connection, either we're connecting or we're separating.
Right.
And ego is a, I was going to say tool, but ego is a weapon.
Yeah.
Of separation.
It is, definitely, because it pulls us back into ourself. But so that's the second line. The third line is, and God said, let there be light, and there was light. Now, this trait is deeper. It's a deeper form of creation, and that's that we can create with language, that we have language that allows us to create, not just that we are creators and not just that we have a spirit inside us that moves, but now we have language with which we can create. And you think about things that kids hear as a parent talks to them. We've talked about it in here a million times. What did you hear as a kid? Those of you listening around the country, what did you hear? You're the best kid there ever was, or you'll never amount to anything. Those have, believe it or not, those words of parents or people in authority over us or people above us, they have creational power. And some of us took that to heart, and we became nothing. Or we fought to be what we couldn't be, which is the queen of the universe. You know, I just wasn't destined to be that, no matter what my parents said. I could have been celebrated as who I really was, and I could have said, oh my gosh, Beth, you are really good at this one thing. Think of the things you're good at.
Well, you know, you referenced what our parents, what we're exposed to, what our parents say to us. Now, our parents, and it's sad, but I've seen it in situations where there are parents that are falling short, but the child, and it's, again, we're probably speaking of instincts, relies on the parent, you know, as a young child, assumes that the parent has their best interests, assumes that the parent is honest with them.
Right.
So the child is going to buy into those untruths.
And some of the untruths will rob us of self-esteem or will inflict shame and will carry those traits with us. Pay attention to your words. What you say to people, it matters. And what you say to yourself really matters. And what does this have to do with learning to love yourself? It has plenty to do with it. It has a really lot to do with it. Because, you know, you were created in the image of God. Big stuff. You know, do you count on that? Do you live as if it's true? Because it's a statement that we've heard over and over. But assume for a minute that it's true. Are you living that way? You have the spirit of creation within. It's living. It's able to move. If only you get conscious contact.
And you have to be willing to look. Now we're back to the seek word.
Yeah, we are. And you have to build a relationship. Just like I say, building a relationship with a higher power is like building a relationship with a human being. You have to take time. You don't get to have a good relationship with somebody you don't spend any time with. That's just the way it is. And is the relationship so you can ask for what you need to get help?
We're not talking Santa Claus here, folks.
Yeah, you know, ask for what you hope for. Talk truthfully. You know, be remorseful about places where you failed or where you didn't achieve what you wanted. And say, well, maybe this isn't my gift. Let me know what my gifts are so that I can move forward and be all I can be.
You know what my biggest prayers are for, Beth? And when I say prayer, please, you know, for many years when I would hear the word prayer, I right away defaulted to, oh, they're talking about religion.
Yeah.
Prayer for me is communication with my concept of a higher power, of my concept of God, and to build a relationship just like when I met Diane. If I wanted a relationship with Diane, I had to spend time with Diane.
Right.
I spent time
Absolutely.
With my higher power in that communication. Okay? And so I lost my original thought. So carry on.
Well, that's okay. And you have language. And you had language to talk to Diane, too. So not only were you having that spirit within you that was moving you, but you also had language to create. And that matters. Like, how do you talk to yourself? Do you realize that your words have power? And it's creational power. It's you're creating what you're living. Would you like to talk to someone else the way you talk to yourself? You know,
self-talk.
Yeah, the self-talk's important. So talk to yourself with love and happiness. You know, if you need help getting good at it, try our Victorious Prayer. Go to our website, www.bethwe.com, and go to the little caption that reads Victory. And there's a little description of how to use that blank. You'll fill in some blanks on a prayer, and then you'll read it out loud. And it's a beautiful thing. It's a prayer of victory.
And it's more of an affirmation.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, it's important for us to talk about loving ourselves. We're worth it. And we're here. We're what we have to work with. We are the raw materials of our life, you know. So let's get going on it and have a good life. We're going to take a short little break. And when we come back, we're going to talk more about this greatest love of all. Do you have it? We want you to. Hang tight.
Thanks for listening to the Beth Wee Radio Hour. Don't forget to check in at www.bethwee.com for more insights and information on how to connect in this big, crazy world. www.bethwee.com gives you dates of upcoming seminars, video teachings for those seeking recovery, tools for finding peace of mind, and Beth's blog, Thoughts to Challenge Your Complacent Thinking. Next time you're online, check out www.bethwee.com. Look for us on Facebook as well. We want you to live your priorities.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Beth Walsh Erickson in the studio today with Lee Kimball, and we're talking about the greatest love of all. You know, Whitney Houston sang that wonderful song, and she says the greatest love of all is easy to achieve. Learning to love yourself is the greatest love of all. Sadly, I think for many of us, it's not really easy to achieve, especially if we're people that are in the middle of our life or at the end of our life or even in our 20s. getting started with life, but we haven't learned how to do it yet. And it's hard to set some things in motion that we've never utilized. So we're talking about some of those things today. How can you love yourself? How can you get to that place where self-love is a normal and regular part of your day?
Well, you know, and it just made me think of, we've spoken before about humility, and the definition of humility that I like is, you know, a clear understanding of what and who I am with a sincere desire to become what and whom I can be. And so it's an acceptance of not only my shortfalls and shortcomings, but it's also a realistic acceptance of my assets. Because you know what? If you're out there, if you're hearing my voice, you've got assets. You may not see them, but every one of us is an important part of the puzzle, and we all bring a contribution.
Absolutely. You know, one of the ways to see things about how you see yourself is to see what you see in others. So how do you see others? What does that reflect on you? So, for example, do you see people that are disappointed a lot? Do you notice that they're disappointed? It could be that you have disappointment, and you recognize it when you see it. You know, what about shame provoking? You see people that are shamed, and it bothers you. Or you see a mother shaming her child in the grocery store, and it just irritates you. Well, that might be because it happened to you, and because you recognize that. You know, guilt and remorse might be your self-view because you learned that as a child. And so when you see it out in public, you recognize it. You see it, you feel sorry for those people. Sometimes if you work to be patient, giving, loving, those things will come more easily to you too, but you have to work at it. Like learning to be patient, oh my goodness. You know how they say, never pray for patience.
Because you will be presented with an opportunity to practice it.
Yeah. If you pray, hey, make me patient, God. Well, get ready. Because some stuff's going to slow down in your life. And you're going to have the opportunity to learn patience. It's a learned trait. It's not just a natural trait, but people get comfortable knowing that they're not in charge of everything, and that sometimes things are going to slow down. It's okay to be imperfect, because, you know, that in itself is honest. To be able to say that you're an imperfect person is really honest. Don't you agree?
I've mentioned before, I saw a bumper sticker once that our Christian friends will certainly appreciate, and it said, nobody's perfect. Well, there was that one guy.
You know, well, we need to accept ourselves as humans and realize that along with our failings, we do have talents. Just like what Lee was saying, Whitney Houston sang that song. She said, in this song, she said, children are our future. Teach them well and let them lead the way. Show them all the beauty they possess inside. Give them a sense of pride to make it easier. Let the children's laughter remind us how we used to be. So go back in your head, like to childhood. Think back to your childhood and say, you know, what was I naturally good at? And as a child, some of us were good at strange things. You might have been a good artist. Maybe you were good with animals. Maybe you were naturally good with dog training or with snuggling the cat. The cat only came and snuggled with you.
A good friend.
Oh, maybe you were a good friend. Maybe you were good in school. Maybe academics came easily to you, or just reading. Maybe you can knock out books left and right.
Yeah, my darling Elizabeth, you know, she in high school wrote a poem. Now, she, like me, was not a wonderful student at times, you know, and it wasn't lack of ability, it was just attitude. But she wrote this poem, and it got published. She won a contest, and she was one of, I believe, 10 kids in the state of Florida that got their poem published. It was amazing.
Yeah, and it made her feel like, wow, I'm good at this.
And yes, Elizabeth, I actually know you're listening today. We're talking about you. Just briefly, thank you. My little baby, and you hear me speak of her frequently, she had her gallbladder out this week.
Oh,
and
boy.
So many people rallied and sent positive energy and love
and prayers
towards her.
And support, yeah.
And you know something? She rocked it.
That's good.
And I'm truly grateful for everybody's support.
That's nice. And, yeah, and mend quickly, Miss Elizabeth. Mend quickly. Yeah, but so when you look back at your childhood and you see what you were naturally good at, maybe you were a good little artist, maybe you were good at sports, maybe you were good at boating, you know, whatever it is that you were good at, I have a question for you. do you still embrace those natural talents? Or did you put them aside because they're part of your childhood? You know, if you were good at art, you're probably still good at art.
Yeah, I don't think you outgrow gifts.
No, gifts like that, they come to you, you know. And do you still embrace them? And if you do, how does it feel? Does it feel good? You know, one of the things I used to be a good storyteller. Believe it or not.
A great communicator.
Yeah. I'm a fairly good communicator. But that was in a whole nother story.
For another day.
Yeah. But I still like to tell jokes. And I've been telling jokes my whole life. I do believe that love and humor are the two fastest roads into someone's heart. You know, sometimes people can't allow you to love them, but they can't help but laugh at something funny. And it gets you in. So I've used humor a lot through my life in managing people, in connecting with people, in working with broken people. I use humor a lot. I tell jokes at work, and people come and say, "Do you have any jokes?"
You get some good jokes at work.
I do get some good jokes too. I heard recently. Okay, there were two heavyset women sitting in a bar, and a guy across the bar is looking at them, and he says, "Hey, ladies, I love the way you talk. Are you from Scotland?" And one of the ladies scowls at him and says, "You idiot, it's Wales." And he says, "Oh, I'm sorry. Hey,
oh, no.
Wales.
Oh, no.
Hey, Wales, I love the way you talk. Are you from Scotland?" Okay, so that's the joke. I know. I can hear my producer laughing in the other room. Now, it's a cute little joke, and people laugh. Why are they laughing? Are they just because humor connects? Humor connects people. And some of us have lost touch with our innate talents. Is humor one of your talents? Use it. Use it to connect with other people, because go back to your childhood. What were you naturally good at? Were you a good swimmer? Do you still swim? Swimming will make you feel better. It'll make you feel good. I have a friend, Maeve, who swims often. She swims. Now, she's had some healthcare issues this last year, but I believe Maeve swims 4 to 5 days a week. Does that sound strange?
I know Maeve, so no, it doesn't. But, you know, and I'd also be inclined to do it, that to think that she's doing because she enjoys it.
And it makes her feel part of who she is, because she was probably a natural swimmer.
Well, and I'll tell you what, too, another gift Maeve has is she is amazing artist with watercolors.
She is talented that way, and she practices that a lot. Now, Maeve is retired, and she's comes around and helps people all the time. She paints, she swims, she lives her life, but she lives it according to some of the talents that she has. And that's what we're talking about here. It's like some of us have lost touch with our innate talents, so I encourage you to go back to these gifts. When you were a child, you automatically like went there. That's what you did.
Without thought.
No, you never even thought about it. Choose to be there again. If it's part of your truest self, it will enhance your ability to love yourself. And I'm telling you the truth. It will enhance your ability to love yourself. Because you don't need to really find self-love. It's there. We just forget to embrace who we really are. You know, we forget to really eliminate the blocks that get in the way. That's like what we've been doing.
Yeah, it's like grace. It's always there, but am I recognizing it?
Right, right. You know, we've built up so many walls against things. We need to just go in and be real, and we need to allow ourselves to excel where it comes naturally, no matter what other people think. That's going to be a big part of loving yourself. You have to let it excel where it's natural for you. You might not be as good at one thing as another. Go for the thing you're good at. That's the talent you were given to enhance this world. And if you're true to self and what comes from you naturally, you'll grow this planet with love and compassion. And automatically, you will love yourself. Automatically. Well, you know what time it is, right? They're going to do the news stories. We're going to have to take a little break and listen to news. We're going to come back, and we're going to have 5 things of gratitude, 5 on 5. So we'll be back shortly. Stay tuned.